It's good to see everybody this morning. So thankful that you guys are here, and I'm thankful that there are so many watching online, and just looking forward to a great morning as we get into God's Word a little bit. We're going to be continuing our series, Good News, as we look in chapter 2, really focusing in on the angel making the proclamation, declaration of the birth of Christ to the shepherds. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm assuming many of you, this is obviously Christmas time, and I'm pretty sure that some of you started before Thanksgiving. I haven't decided yet if that's a tragedy or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that most of you have done some kind of decoration for Christmas. I think if you have, raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you're being shamed right now. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, I think that most of us... Now, who did all the decorating like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving? Anybody? There you go. All right, I see some back there. How about on Thanksgiving Day? Did anybody decorate? We were pretty close on Thanksgiving. I think we were putting up lights and eating turkey at the same time. So it was awesome. So we decorate for Christmas, and so we finally have put some things out in our house. It's up in front of our house. Now, if it was just me, Amy and I have different tastes in decorating. I don't know if your house is like this, but if it was me and I was a bachelor and this was just my house, my yard would look like Walmart threw up all over it, and I would have inflatables on every inch of the yard. That would be me. How many of you guys have inflatables all over your yard? Yeah. So I love the inflatable things. I'm telling you, I drive by one and I'm like, I'm mesmerized, you know. It's just like, whoo, that's awesome. Now, Amy is a little more simpler in her decorating, okay? She's much better than me in decorating. I mean, I put up a reindeer and an inflatable Santa and I'm good. But Amy is really, really good at it. And so we kind of go simple with our house, some lights, some wreaths on the outside, some lights coming up on it. But one of the things that remains the same every year, and we put this up in our yard every year, and it's my favorite part of decorating for Christmas, and it's just simple three letters that we put up, wooden letters, pretty big, with a light shining in front of it, and it's the word joy. And I think now more than ever, what people need to see and hear and experience is joy. You know, three simple letters, such a small, short word that packs a huge punch, that has great power backing it up. And as believers today, a word that we can experience daily, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our life, we can experience the depth of the joy that comes from Jesus. And now more than ever, our world needs to know that there can be joy even in the midst of difficult times. So we're going to continue looking in Luke chapter 2. So you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be focusing in again on verse 10 as we kind of walk through this verse in a little bit. But we're going to read verses 8 through 15 today. And then kind of again go back and look at verse 10 and really kind of focus in on it. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 10. If you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word together? This is what God's Word says in Luke chapter 2. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power that's in Your Word. And our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would move and work in our hearts this morning, transforming us into who You want us to be. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look in chapter 2 of Luke, as we look at the story of the shepherds receiving the news that Jesus has been born, we're reminded of this good news. I don't know if you were here last week, but we started off really in verse 10. It says, and the angel said to them, fear not, fear not. And we talked about this good news. The birth of Jesus allows us to move past fear in our life. That doesn't mean that we're not going to experience it. I mean, we're going to experience in our life different things that may bring fear in our life. But what it does mean is this. Because of Jesus, we don't have to be paralyzed by fear in our life. We can move past it and we can live a faithful journey for Him. And so now we move on to the next part of this verse. And it says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I can always use good news of great joy. There have been many days in my life that I think and that I need to hold on to good news of great joy. What the world needs to hear today is good news of great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. There's an emphasis there. Now, don't be mistaken. When you look in God's Word, you might be thinking, well, it's just a word. Listen, nothing is by accident in God's Word. So no, when it says great joy, there's a reason for great joy. And we find that in the good news. Now, for us as Christians, we recognize the good news of the gospel, and we try to share that. Jesus dying on the cross, 3 days later, rising again. And so we have life in Him when we ask for forgiveness. Listen, that's the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus being born. And for the shepherds, that is what they needed to hear. That is what the world needed to know. That good news, Jesus has been born. Hope has arrived. Joy is here. What a great reminder for us today as we talk about this powerful word, joy, and what that means for us. Now, listen, I know that for a lot of us, if you've been coming to church throughout a year, you can hear several times throughout the year a sermon about joy. I did a sermon not too long ago about joy. But listen, I just want you to open spiritual eyes today, maybe open up your heart to what God would have for you today concerning joy. And now more than ever, as we think about the holidays, Thanksgiving, into Christmas, this is sometimes the most difficult time of the year for many families. It can bring a lot of emotions. And you know what's interesting is that automatically when we hear the word Christmas and we think about all that the festivities that come with Christmas, we automatically think of the happiest time of the year. Well, I can tell you with certainty, in the same way that Disney at midnight is not the happiest place on earth, I can tell you with all certainty that Christmas time for many is not the happiest time of the year. And so it's important for us to proclaim and to grab hold of the great joy during this time. And so I want to look at just a few things about joy that we can pull from this story some more, especially as we talk through this verse. And the first thing is this, that when we think about joy and how important it is and what it means for us as believers, I'm just going to throw out this statement and know that this is probably the foundational statement that I hope if you don't walk out with anything, you walk out with this, even if you have to write it down. But it's simply this, Jesus is the source of true joy. Jesus is the source of true joy. If you came in here with any kind of idea about joy, then hopefully this will change that and you will become grounded in this truth that Jesus is the source of true joy. Now, you may say, well, Craig, of course, we come into church and we understand that. We know that. You don't have to say that over and over. But listen, I think it's important to be reminded today that Jesus is the source of true joy. Now, I don't know if you have watched this commercial. Every Christmas, this commercial seems to come back up. And it's a GMC Chevrolet commercial. I think it's a GMC. I don't know if you've seen this. The couple, husband and wife, I assume, that are there and it's a beautiful house. They're living in that beautiful house and they're all like, yay, you know, that kind of thing. And they're exchanging gifts and the guy opens up a gift from his wife and it's like matching, something little matching thing. And they're like, oh, that's so sweet, you know. And he goes, I got something for you. And they walk outside the door and in the driveway two brand new vehicles with bows on top, like a brand new truck and a brand new Yukon or something like that, something big SUV with a big red bows on there in their driveway. And she's like, "Woo!" And she goes and jumps in the truck. Y'all like that commercial? That makes me laugh every time. She goes and jumps, and he's like, "What? Wait, that's yours." You know, that kind of thing. That's pretty much what it would be like in my house. I just want you to know that. But I think it's so funny they walk out in those two big cars. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and tell you again with 100% certainty, without any doubt, that will never, ever happen in my real world. Like, Amy, I'm going to tell you, we're never going to walk out the door and there'll be two brand new cars sitting in the driveway. If I have two brand new cars sitting in the driveway, stop tithing because I'm getting paid too much, all right? That is ridiculous. So I'm here to tell you that when we see commercials like that, and that's not the only one. Listen, we watch shows all the time, Hallmark, everything. Listen, we watch these things all the time. We walk away, we're like, whoa! And we have this thought and understanding, that's how life should be, but can I tell you, you're going to be disappointed. Because that is not real life. Now, some of you may have a brand new car sitting at your house as soon as you get home. Congratulations. Let me drive it. And so it could happen. But listen, the reality of it is this. If that is what brings you happiness, if that is what brings you joy, the thought that you're going to have two brand new cars, maybe the thought of having a big mansion, big house that's beautiful. Listen, if that is going to be your source of joy, then you will be disappointed. Because the reality never matches up to the dream. And we look in life today and all over the world, we're kind of coaxed into thinking this is what's going to make you happy. And don't get me wrong, a new car, that can make you happy for a little bit, right? Listen, this is not about an emotion. This is about joy. And if our joy is found in the stuff that is around us, if it's found in the things that we can claim here on this earth, then we are going to be sorely disappointed. You know, I read an interesting article the other day. One of the biggest trends in China right now, suicide by females. Women committing suicide because of depression. And I know that has a lot to do with COVID. It has a lot to do. But listen, during this time, what we find is a greater sense of depression, suicide, things like that, that's happening in our world today because many times the reality of life doesn't match up to the fantasy. And can I just tell you that if we're basing our joy on what the world has to offer, then we're going to be disappointed every time. And so the true source of our joy has to be Jesus. One of the pastors from Saddleback Church said this. He said, "Joy is not found in what you have. It's found in what can't be taken away." Listen, that's Jesus. And we have to plant our joy in Him. So He is the source of our joy. I look at these, you know, the trees here and the little candle flickering on both sides. It's pretty nice. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. It's pretty nice. But listen, the only reason that we have these lights is because it's plugged in and it's plugged into the right source. Can I tell you, the only way we're going to experience true joy is if we're plugged in to the right source. One of the greatest passages that talks about this connection is John 15. It talks about the vine and the branches. And Jesus is talking about being connected with Him. And that's where you find life. That's where you find everything that you need. And listen, that's where we find joy when we're connected with Jesus. The more that we're connected to the source, then we're going to experience true joy. I love what John 15:11 says. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So Jesus says, be connected to me and you're going to experience joy as long as you are connected with me. Listen, Jesus is the source. May we connect to Him. And so I just want to throw out the question, are you connected? This Christmas, listen, we can buy all the gifts we want and we can do all the things, and I love it. I love all that happens in Christmas time, and I think it's wonderful. But the most important thing I want to encourage you with today is this. May you be connected to the source this Christmas. What I love about Jesus, and especially for the shepherds, they got the news of Jesus being born, and they went, and they got to see Jesus. They got to experience Jesus, and they went back joyful because Jesus is here. Can I just tell you, Jesus is here. The source for your joy is here. And why? Because God sent Him. He is here because God sent Him. So I want to just throw this out and say, if you're waiting for when you are a better person, or if you're waiting for after the holidays, if you're waiting for a couple of years for you to connect to Jesus, can I tell you, don't wait, because Jesus is here. And He wants to be your source, and He wants to connect to you now. Listen, you're only going to experience as much of Jesus as you want. And may we want Him more than ever before. May we connect to Him and the source, the true source of joy. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It doesn't say rejoice because of the Lord or rejoice about the Lord. It says rejoice in the Lord. Listen, that's connection, relationship. That's giving your life to the one that can give you life. That's the being obedient and following after the one that can give you that joy that never goes away. Are you connected to that source of the one that gives you the true joy? Number two is this, as we think about joy, and this is so important for us today as every day, and I hope that this resonates with you, it does with me. True joy defies our circumstances. True joy defies our circumstances. So let's define really the idea, the thought of joy, as opposed to happiness. And again, I love being happy, and I think we all love being happy, but happiness is more of an emotion that is dependent upon circumstance. Let's just be honest. Some things make us happy, some things don't. But joy is not dependent. It defies our circumstances. It's more of a deep-seated connection with the Lord that gives us this deep understanding of the blessing that He has given us. And so that never goes away. God never changes. He's always the same. He's good yesterday, today, and forever. And if our joy is found in Him, that means that joy never goes away. And so joy is more something that's more deep-seated in and rooted in our life, unlike the emotion of just happiness in our life. So if we look at that and recognize that that's what joy is, then the reality is, it defies our circumstances. So no matter what goes on around us, it doesn't change the joy that's in our life. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that there are many things in this world that don't make me happy. I was talking about this morning, but when Amy and I first met, we met at the Baptist Student Center, the Baptist Collegiate Ministries there at Stephen F. Austin, And the first time she saw me, I was doing a lip sync for a DC Talk song. And I was an idiot. I'm telling you, I was dorky, and and some of y'all are going, yeah, you still are. But anyway, but I didn't know any of the words to the rap song at all. And so I just got out there and I was trying to dance, and I was lip syncing. I was doing watermelon over and over again. Watermelon, watermelon. Cause I didn't know the words. And so that's when she first saw me, and she just, I mean, head over heels in love with me. I mean, can you blame her? But anyway, so I'm just kidding. But that's the first time she saw me. So really in every setting that we saw each other, I was doing that. That's what I was doing. That was what I was supposed to do. So I was up on stage. I'd make a fool of myself, laugh, and do all those things. I had to tell her once we started dating. I said, "Amy, I'm not always happy." I had to say that. I'm not always happy. I'm not always like, yay! You know, I'm just not. And I'm pretty sure that we're all the same way. There are days that we're just not happy. And you know what? That's the journey that God has us on. It is. It's a part of how He's wired us. It's part of what we experience. Nowhere does it say we're excluded from those difficult days. It hurts. when we lose a loved one. It hurts when a relationship is broken. It hurts when we lose a job. Listen, that cuts to the core. It leaves scars. And nobody is excluded from that. Everybody walks through that. And I'll be honest with you, even as a pastor, I'm not happy in those times. But when we look at joy in our life, I will say that we can have joy through those times. It is different. The world may not understand that, but it's a joy that is deep-seated that never goes away. That kind of joy defies our circumstances. It does. Because it comes from the greatest source, and that's Jesus. God's Word says this, and I think this is where I see this most. In Hebrews chapter 12, when it talks about Jesus and this, and that's a good explanation, isn't it, from a pastor? In the Bible, it talks about Jesus. And anyway, Hebrews 12 in verse 2, it's my favorite passage, but verse 2 it says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Listen, I love that verse because one, it says he endured the cross. Listen, that wasn't easy for Jesus. I mean, we think God in the flesh, that it's a piece of cake. Listen, he was fully man and fully God, and so he experienced all the things that we experienced, yet he was still divine. So when it says he endured the cross, the pain and the suffering that came with the cross, Jesus endured the cross. But why? How was he able to defy the circumstances around him? Now I get it. He's God in the flesh. But listen, it tells us who for the joy set before him. Listen, joy defies our circumstances. If we can focus in on the goodness of God and the promises of God and the blessings of God, even in the midst of difficult times, it defies all circumstances that may happen in our life. Psalm 30 verse 5 says this, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." Many times our joy is most felt on the backside of a tragedy, right? When we walk through it, then we recognize the joy that's been experienced through all of it. Listen, joy defies the circumstances in our life. Do you have joy? The last thing is this, and this kind of just sums everything up and brings it all together, is that joy comes through trusting more than trying. Comes through trusting more than trying. Now, what I mean by that is just simply this. I think about the shepherds. You know, they were, again, the lowest of the low. I mean, we talked about that last week. They were on the same level as tax collectors, prostitutes. They were looked down upon, all those things. Yet, in that moment when they heard those words, that, you know, good news of great joy, they trusted. They left what was normal for them and they followed. And they went to experience and see and experience Jesus. And so they trusted and did something with that. You know, for us as Christians, many times the way that we try to experience joy is that we work harder or we try to be better. When in reality, what we need to do is just trust. You know, how many times in the midst of a difficult time do we just sit back and be still before God and let Him work and move in our life? Most of the times, we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to make it better. We're trying to fix it. But listen, there's times in our life that trusting is what needs to happen. Just trust. Instead of try. I heard a pastor talking about life and joy, and he said it really comes down to doing and being. You know, doing we do a pretty good job at, right? We can find joy in relationships and happiness, all those things. But being is one of the most difficult. That's when we just allow ourselves to be who God has called us to be. When we slow down and rest in Him, and allow Him to work in our life and fill us with that joy no matter the circumstance. Romans 15:13 says this, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." You know, I love this idea of believing. This is faith. This is trust. When you give your life to Him, listen, He is the one that fills you with all joy and peace. But I love this verse because it goes on and says, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the joy and the hope and the peace and everything that you have in your life that comes from God is abounding and way more than we could ever ask for if we trust and believe. By the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy. Listen, believe, have faith, trust in God. It's time for us to trust in the joy that He provides for us. Psalm 30, which I love Psalm 30 and verse 11 in the New Living Translation, it says this, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." I want you to do this. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 30. Turn to Psalm 30. And I want you to look at verse 11. My translation is the ESV. This one is the NLT that I just read. But I want you to turn there and I want you to underline that first part. I want you to circle it. You have turned my... Yours may sound a little different, but you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Underline that whole thing. Listen, the reality is this. When we trust in God, He works. When we trust in Him, Him filling us with joy, not us trying to fabricate it or make it happen. When we trust in the supernatural strength and power of God to fill us with joy, then listen, we experience joy abounding like never before. If we try to do it on our own, listen, we may be happy for a little bit, but if God does it, we have joy through all circumstances, through all times. His joy overflows in our life. Trust Him. Lean into Him when times are difficult, when they are hard. Maybe you're experiencing those difficult times today. Listen, we walk with you in this, but even more than that, trust that God is going to fill you and will fill you with joy even as you're walking through sadness. Psalm 13 says this. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." How hard is that? Depressing is that? But here's what verse 5 says. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me." Can I encourage you today in this season of Christmas and how wonderful it is, find joy in the Lord. Trust in Him over this holiday and every day from this holiday. Trust in Him. Lean in on Him. Allow Him to be the joy in your life. Let Him be your source. So no matter what may be going on in your life, no matter how hard it is and difficult it is, and listen, we do walk through those days, you will experience joy even in the most tragic of times. Now, you may say, "Craig, I don't see it," and I'll be honest with you, how that looks, I don't know if you can really put that into words, but that's what makes it supernatural. If we could explain how people experience deep-seated joy even in the hard times, if we could, I'd bottle it up, I'd sell it. But listen, this is supernatural. This is not from us. This is from God. And He gives us joy bountifully. So experience His joy this Christmas. Allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're experiencing, let that deep-seated joy fill you up and allow God to move and work in your life. Do you have joy?